Spud Addie, you Spud and I'm Addie. Just listen, you'll glisten, cause you'll be so happy. A podcast is random talk on this and on that. What did you expect from potatoes and fat? Yeah, what did you expect from potatoes and fat?
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to Spud Addie. My name is Addie, and
I'm the Spud.
And we are both here and ready to entertain you and discuss the secrets of our world. This is our podcast. And whether you're watching live on Twitch, recorded on YouTube, on Ood Audio Boom, or on iTunes, you are more than welcome. Let's get right into it. Our live viewers here have taken a quick vote to decide who goes first today, and they have voted for Spud. Somehow you are more popular than you. I don't understand why.
It's my sexual voice, my sensual voice. Okay, so we've got a lot to get through. It could be that as well.
Sexual voice?
Yes. So Hearthstone.
How is the voice sexual? How is the voice sexual?
How is the voice sexual?
Yeah, you said you had a sexual voice.
Because it's just makes you feel like getting in the mood, and loosening your belt and undoing your top button.
Right. Have I got a pun? I have. Oh, it's already done. Oh, that's all good. But yes, no, all of the above and more. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Go for it.
Our favourite card game, Hearthstone.
Yes.
It's getting a brand new expansion. The Grand Tournament. It'll bring 132 new cards to the table. Okay. And from what I understand, most of the cards, or a lot of the cards even, are centred around your hero's powers.
Yes.
A lot of them are.
Inspire. So, and a brand new card ability as well, which is Inspire, which is when it, yes, kicks off it.
Yes, Inspire. So, for example, I'm looking at one, just to give it a little taster, I picked out three that we could... So I've got, for four cost, Savage Combatant, and Inspire, give your hero +2 attack this turn.
Nice.
So you could... Two Fireballs with Mage, two Heals. It depends if it's hero, if it's just set to a certain hero, but that could be useful. I can't see how it's not useful.
There's all sorts of different ones. I mean, I'm not sure which one you're looking at there, but there's some of them where if you use the hero power, it buffs that particular minion, like +2 attack. There's other ones that, yes, then give you a minion that gives you repeated uses of your hero power and things like that. I think it's going to be really, really interesting. The thing that really irritated me about Goblins and Gnomes is all the cards look great, but the whole theme of that whole pack was random, or RNG, as they call it, random number generator. And my complaint about Hearthstones and Clary's complaint about Hearthstones is that it's too random. And, you know, I was going through one of my kind of like Hearthstone down turns and kind of going, it's too random, I hate it. And then they released an entire expansion based around random. And I was like, why would you take the worst element of the game and expand it?
Son of a...
So the fact that this is based around a kind of more controllable dynamic and predictable outcome, I think is really, really cool.
Yes, and some of them sound like potentially, without understanding it completely. Like there's one called Kaldara Drake, and it's a dragon, and it's a 6 cost for a 6 attack and 6 health. And you can use your hero power any number of times. Does that mean in a go? What does that mean? It's like, wow.
It means you'd have to, with mana as the limit. So like, so you...
Right, so, yeah, but so if you're in 10, you could just, use it, you know, just, oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Which would be cool. And, you know, you think about the elements there, you could, the potential, I mean, it's always one of the things, it's potential combos rather than actual combos. But like, if you got that on the board and you're a paladin, you could then in theory go hero power, hero power, hero power, hero power. And you'd have like 5 little men on the board. And then next turn play a quartermaster and buff them all up. Or you can be a mage and just be like, you know, like pew, 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 pew. I mean, but the thing is, it is, like I said, it's the potential is always more exciting than what actually happens. Like you hope that you'll be able to go pew, 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 but actually what happens is they just kill the thing and you go like, wow, I got to use it once.
yes. Oh, come on. But yeah, so for anyone listening that's never played this, you need to play it. It's one of the most consistent games I've played in memorable history. Normally I'd finish a game and that's it. But because this is literally, I've been playing it nonstop since it got to Android tablets, because I've got an Android tablet, and it's just daily. So I'd pop on there and have a little game where other games haven't really got me like that. It's like a part of my daily routine almost. So yeah, I recommend it.
I played a game called Magic Duel the other day. It came, yes. It was released last week. And the people that watch me on Twitch will know where I'm going with this. But I was really looking forward to it. I was like, the review said it was kind of like their version of Hearthstone, a more accessible Magic the Gathering. Because I like the idea of Magic the Gathering, but I always kind of get a little bit kind of like, oh, this is a bit too complicated. And I think one of the things that Hearthstone does so well is it's very accessible. You know, you the tutorials are really well done, and you get it. You might not win, but you get what's going on. And this was one of the worst put together tutorials I've ever seen in my life. It was a computer generated female voice. So the person doing the tutorials was like, now pull the card from your hand and place it onto the board. Whereas Hearthstone is like, all right, pull that card there, right out, stick it up him, right, yeah. And rather than, I think Hearthstone teaches you in six little matches, and each time is a complete match. And so you get this feeling of, you know, oh, I defeated that little boss, and I defeated that little boss, and things like that. This one would put an entire board out and basically go, now play that card. And you'd play that card. No, sorry. Now play that card. And you'd play that card. And then that whole tutorial would end. That was it. That was the whole tutorial, was just play that card. And you're there, wow, going, well, this is fascinating. And I got through the tutorial and got into the main game, and it was just really so. You know how Hearthstone has a board, and it's a nice bright color, and then you've got those four core objects in the corners, and you can play with them, and you can fiddle with them, and you know the board just looks exciting, and the artwork is wicked, and there's like effects flying all over the place. Magic Jewel has a big gray slab.
Awesome. Can you tap the gray slab, and then like a jewel falls out, or a dragon flies in?
No? I don't know. I literally stopped because I was bored. I was through a stream, and there weren't many people watching, which is probably good. And I said, look, I'm really sorry. I am bored. I am going to stop playing this because it is boring.
How did that get through quality control? You know, when they were making it, surely someone went, this is really boring. Should we? I always wonder about that.
There's probably a really good strategy game under there somewhere, but you know how when someone tries to teach you a board game, and like they get, and it's normally me trying to teach you board games. I know I've done this in the past. And you're going through the instructions, and the instructions are just really dull, and your eyes are rolling back in your head. But then somewhere through, halfway through the first play of the board game, you go, oh, I get it. And it's really good. And you understand that there is a good game in there somewhere, but it just takes you a while to get to that good game. Yeah. I think Magic Jewel's going to be like that, but I didn't get there. What's the most boring game you've ever played?
Oh, but computer or board?
Anything. Just something that's bored you to tears.
The Last Assassin's Creed.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a controversial bit, because that's like a really popular series.
Yeah, well, they come out at E3 and apologised for it, so I think...
Really?
They more or less did. It's like, so many people worked on this, and even though we passionately love it, we can't ignore the feedback we got that it was underpants. Really sorry. But the next one, and like a sucker, I was like, no, that's it. You've completely lost me. Yeah. Oh, the next one's in London. Oh, it's in London. Oh, I'm in London. Oh, I'm going to buy that.
Completely. It's like I'm an assassin with a creed.
It's like, oh, it's like the same story, but they promised it's not going to suck. Like last time they would have went, this game sucks. So it's like the 2K series, which it's like, oh, that's it. No, not next time. But no, they've got me again. But it was so, so boring. Oh God, it was like, you looked at the map and it was like, what? And each mission was just, just so uninteresting.
What was it called?
Unity, Assassin's Creed Unity. And it also had loads of problems. I didn't get it day one, but when it came out day one, they forgot the texture for the faces. So loads of people had this bug where it's just eyeballs and teeth talking to people, and it looked horrendous. It looked like They Live. It's like a horror film. So, and also the game was terrible. It was just the mechanics were good, but nothing else apart from the mechanics were good. So as soon as you went to do something with the mechanics, you fell asleep from boredom.
Because some people love those games which are like grind games. You know, like play this game, play this level over and over and over, and you'll slowly level up and stuff. I know you were talking about grinding the other day.
Yeah, I would just the other day.
We talk about grinding on Doctor Who Legacy, because the best level to grind is a level called Jenny. And so we often talk about grinding Jenny and we've got Susan, the game designer, now making the occasional grinding Jenny joke. The first time we did it, we were all like sniggering away, and she gave us this stern look and even a groan, like, oh. And then the other day she was like, yeah, well, you can just grind Jenny if you want some. And we were like, you did it. She was like, I know.
But I agree. Normally I'm completely against it. I'm just like, Diablo 3, which is controversial again for me, because I got it. And after reading all the good reviews and everything, and I was like, this is so boring. I've done the first level and I expected to go on the second level. I was like, I have to go and do the first level again because I'm still not powerful. What? Why would I want to do that? Oh, I was so confused. Just what? So when they say it's like a 100-hour game, it's actually not. It's actually a 50-hour game, but you have to play it twice and over the same set.
You're going to court controversy there. Diablo is one of the most popular games like on the planet.
I know, but I just do not like it. I tried getting it. I got it. I paid full price for it, and then I just don't care. Even if you don't give me a refund, just take it. I don't want it in my house. It's so boring.
I downloaded a Where's Wally game on the iPad the other day, or Where's Waldo for my American friends. You know, little chap, red and white striped t-shirt, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, this is a really cool idea for an app. You know, finding things in images and things like this. And it started off really well. The first thing was like, you know, here's a big image, find these five objects. And I was like, oh, cool, it's over there. And then it was like, cool, you've got some crystals. And I was like, great, cool, I've got some crystals. You can use these crystals to unlock something and something that and something else and something else. And then my oh God antenna, I first pricked up when I realized there were four different types of currency at the top of the screen. Four different types of currency, you know, like coins, gems, crystals, and farts or something. I don't know, whatever it was, but you know, and each one did different things. And then it was one of those ones where you now unlock the next world. Click to unlock the next world. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Like, oh, there's a countdown to unlock the next world. That's going to be fun when I unlock like the 24th one, isn't it? When that starts increasing. So I did the second one. The second one was fine. And then it was like, cool, you need some more coins before you can go on to the next level. Okay, fine. Expecting it to now be like, no, give us your money. And it was like, now go back and do the first world again. So I went back to the first world expecting, so I don't know what I expected, loaded it up. And it was like, now find those five objects that you found before. And it was like,
No.
I know where they are. I already found them. How is this the game? How does this exist?
Yeah, that's I don't know exactly what you mean, because you know a lot of these games where you grind, the enemy placement is exactly the same. So by the fifth or fourth time you're grinding away, you're like, okay, yeah. So you're not even concentrating. You're just like, right, enemy on the right, slash, or behind me here. He's going to jump out there, slash, got you there. Which brings me on to Bloodborne. Which is exactly that. And for some bizarre reason, I love Bloodborne. It's brilliant. I'm just grinding away. It just contradicts myself.
Is it Dark Souls sequel or Dark Souls something or other?
It's the third game from the creator of Demon Souls. He did obviously Demon Souls, Dark Souls, Dark Souls 2. I think Dark Souls 2 might have been a different development team, but it's the same thing. But this is exclusively for PS4. And it's the fighting mechanics are a lot faster. I think that's because I played the other one. I think you gave me one of them for my birthday once, and it was good. I appreciated it, but it was very slow and clunky. And it was good, but so then I had to do it again. The slow
because it was present.
I appreciate everything that it was trying to do. But it was just too much. But also going back to the currency of a fart, which you said that one of the currencies could have been a fart. I'm just imagining going to a shop and sorry, guy, I've got no money, and the shopkeeper going, no, please. And I think all games should have currency of farts. That'd be good. Anyway.
Is it my turn?
Go.
Okay, Addy's turn. Here we go. Let's move off the world of computer games and go to the world of movies. All right.
Movie.
Prometheus 2 filming reportedly starts filming in January 2016. Now, there's a little story behind this for the viewers. If you might know what Prometheus is, you might not. But I'm sure you've heard of the Alien series of movies. Now, when Aliens, Alien 3... And then it all went crazy, and there were loads of different Alien sequels, and then there was Alien versus Predator, and Aliens versus My Little Pony, and all sorts of crazy stuff, and the whole franchise got completely ruined. And then in fact, Sigourney Weaver actually came out. I was reading an interview with Sigourney Weaver saying that she felt Aliens versus Predator killed the Aliens franchise, that it turned it from being like a special, unique horror movie into like a kind of an action fest. She blames Alien vs. Predator for ruining it. Then the director, whose name has just managed to escape me, brilliant, came back and did a film called Prometheus.
James Cameron.
No, Cameron did Aliens. It was the director of the original Alien. I've just completely forgotten his name. But he did a film called Prometheus, which is kind of a prequel to Alien, and it kind of goes more back to that kind of slow-burning horror-type style. Very, very strange movie, but based in the same world. And now Prometheus 2 is coming along. So Spud, my question for you is, are you looking forward to it? Have you seen Prometheus 1 and are you excited to see where the story goes?
I have. It's not that memorable for me. I remember the main bits. I remember everyone hating it and me watching it with that negative feedback and thinking, it's not that bad. Like I do that with all films. If I hear negative stuff about the bad films and finally watch the bad film, I was like, oh, that's not that bad.
I do it the other way. When everyone says a movie's great, and then I go and watch it and I'm like, it's really not that. I haven't just given birth or come.
Avengers. Did Avengers didn't make you give birth then?
Yeah, Avengers 2. Everything was fine. Wore the same clothes the next day.
Why is he wearing Iron Man armor? He's not Iron Man.
So Prometheus is a really confusing film. I mean, I agree it's not as memorable as it might have been, but it's one of those films that kind of goes, man, we got questions, and then there's more questions, and what did this, and what did that, and why is that doing that, and who was that guy at the beginning of the movie? And you get to the end of Prometheus, and it basically kind of goes, cool, now let's go and find some of those answers. And the credits roll, and you're like, oh, what?
I kind of got the vibe from it because it asked all those questions, and at the end it said, because aliens. And that was it. That was the answer. Just because aliens.
Because aliens. Yeah, but
I didn't hate as much as everyone else did. I still thought it was quite a good film. There was I got this a guy I work with, and he was ignoring the fact that it was on another planet and all the other crazy things that you have to, you know, suspend disbelief for. And he was saying that there's a bit where a woman gets injured and then she has to run away injured.
Yeah.
There's no way that she could run away injured. Oh, that's completely unrealistic. She's been chased by a giant alien. Why are you concentrating on the woman running with a slight injury? Always makes a lot of people do that.
I love, speaking of realistic injuries, like, I think it's the Die Hard movies. Like, you know, in action movies, like you were just saying, the hero often like gets often shot in the arm. You know, they're regularly shot in the arm and beaten up and a bruise and a bloody lip, but they more or less carry on exactly as they do before.
It's just a flesh wound.
It's just a flesh. You know, every other bad guy who they see, you know, gets killed with an elbow to the face or a neck crick or a single shot somewhere. But the hero basically survives, you know, asbestos being poured down his throat. And except the Die Hard movies. And I love the Die Hard movies because at the end, you know, Bruce Willis just throughout them just gets progressively more buggered. And by the end, he's always kind of like, oh, my feet, my arms, my eyes, my legs, ow, yippee-ki-yay. And you feel his pain in a way that you don't with the other action movies. That's one of the reasons I think they're so good is you just like, you wince when he's, he's suffering, dude. Oh, ow.
I especially the first one with the walking over the glass. That was the most standout. It's like, ooh, ah,
shoot the glass. Anyway, you'll go.
Right, okay. So, for the month of August, all the free games on the consoles have been announced. And I would like to inform everyone of this information for their pleasure.
Like PlayStation Plus, that kind of thing?
Yeah, we're taking all the PlayStation and all the Xbox Live. And it's quite a good month. So let me give you a quick run through and see what you think. So for the Xbox One, we've got Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, which is only kind of like a quarter of a game, but hey, it's free again. And a game we've never heard of. So if you've heard of this one, How to Survive Storm Warning Edition. Nope, me neither.
Nope.
Xbox 360 is good. Both the Metro games. So you've got Metro 2033 and Metro Last Light, both free.
I haven't played Last Light. I've got it. But Metro 2033, weird game, but very, 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 very good. It's a strange combination of action, stealth, horror, RPG. It's very, very, very good. And very frustrating in places. You know, what's the phrase? You know, in the games like, you know, medium difficulty, medium difficulty, and then, oh dear God, you'll never get past this bit, and then it's okay.
Yep.
Difficulty spikes. Yeah. Oh, there's just certain bits of it that will literally make you pull your hair out. That's why I'm bald. I do blame Metro 2033 a little bit for me being bald. But if you get
before that,
really
you had just such a giant mane of hair. It was just everywhere. It was beautiful. I remember it. I used to run my fingers through it all the time.
That actually coined the phrase Addy Rage. Because on my Twitch channel, like I get regularly kind of like an Addy Rage, like thing, oh, he's going to rage quit. I think it might have been Metro 33 that started that one off. But I feel like I'm not doing this game justice. I do really, really, really like it. Go play it. Just do it like when you've just like, you know, woos are, you know.
Nice calm. It caused me a little bit of rage that being announced because like 2 days before I bought the remastered editions of both of those for the PS4 and then 2 days later it got announced that they're free on the Xbox 360. Son of a mother. Right, next up. So we're on to the PlayStation and stuff now. So that's for the Xbox. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, so it's two free games on each console. And then on the PS4, well, let's go games because a lot of these crossover. So you've got Limbo for the PS4, free. Lara Croft and the Temple of
Limbo. Limbo, I completed that last week. Limbo's really, really, really good. If you haven't played it, grab it.
Yeah, I've seen it and I've got it free on the Xbox 360 ages ago, but I might as well play It's about
4 hours worth of play, but it's.
I remember everyone discussing it game of the year when it came out.
I talked about it on last week's podcast, so I'm going to shut up because
Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris, I think is that how you pronounce it? But that's like a Smash TV, like bird's eye shootery thing. I think there's a couple of puzzles in there. I think it's multiplayer as well. So that's for the PS4 as well. And then we've got Sound Shapes, which is a platforming and rhythm game, as far as I'm aware. It's for the PS4, PS3, and PS Vita. So there's loads for the PlayStation Plus. Hang on. Stealth Inc. 2. Which I played one, but I've never played two. That's also for the PS4, PS3, PS Vita. And are you still going?
Are you advertising for these people? Why are you reading me this big list of stuff? Are you free?
You can't be on
commission for these. So why?
Hey, look, if it gets me a job with PlayStation, I'm going to go for it. I don't mean to compare the two, but
Please your advert for PlayStation Plus. Yeah, carry on.
Castle Storm Complete Edition.
Is there a little code that, like, you know, Spud, that they have to put in when they sign up?
I hope so. Castle Storm Edition for the PS3 and PS Vita.
Okay, right.
The last one, here we go. And God of War Ascension for the PS3. All those are free for people if they just sign up to these services. And unfortunately, I haven't got a list of free Steam games because there's probably too much to read in an hour podcast. Any of those tickle your fancy?
No.
Are you PC master race? Anyway, go
it's
you.
The, it's just the PC games are cheaper the rest of the time. So, you know, if I added up the amount that I've spent on my PC games versus the amount that you've probably spent on like two or three console games, I still win. PC elitist. I know. There are many videos that mock me and will go, oh, you're just a PC elitist. Yes, fine, I am. But still, there are advantages.
They are. But I just listed a hell load of games for free for consoles. But anyway, your turn. Go.
My turn. Bing. Okay. I'm going to go for, got a few things I want to talk about. I want to go controversial.
Okay.
There's a news story in the UK at the moment about a guy called Edward Heath, who was the British Prime Minister in the late 70s. We're talking kind of like 73 to 75, around that kind of time. And he died in 2008-ish. And he was very, very old. In fact, he was the father of the house, which means he was the oldest MP we had. But he's now being investigated for some naughty crimes, possibly abuse type thing. And I was talking about it with Clary earlier, and I talked about it with a few other people this week. And I think it's a really interesting question. Like, should you investigate the crimes of someone who is no longer with us? Like, and I think there's a really, really strong argument on both sides. And I'm not sure how I feel about it. And it's quite a controversial topic because obviously, you know, we've got to be careful how we discuss this because obviously, you know, if the crimes are abuse, you know, this is quite a nasty thing, but you're also besmirching the reputation of someone who otherwise has kind of a squeaky clean record. But I don't know. I mean, you know, let's not go controversial here, Spud, but you know, what do you think? You know, should we be investigating crimes of people who are dead?
Well, I'm a big believer in the truth of things when it comes to these kind of things. Not these kind of things, but general, when people even have a positive reputation. I know that there's the argument that if they inspire goodness, then just let the lie lay. English.
Ah, the lie lay.
Lie lay. And good English for me. And the episode of The Simpsons, I remember, where Jebediah Springfield, and they found all the bad things.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah,
and everyone was like, go on, little girl, tell us. And she couldn't bring herself towards it. I'm a big go there for the truth about lots of people, which I won't go into, but a lot of people think a lot of people are good. And if you look into it, they're actually not that good. But because they, you know, they're trying to model themselves on the lie, which could be positive. But with things like this in particular, I don't, because it's the abuse angle of it, and if it's right, then people should know because it's terrible. If it's wrong, then you're, even if they're proved to be wrong, that person is still smeared by it. So I think maybe things like this shouldn't go public until they've got a different answer.
It doesn't really go to trial, does it? Because you've got, because they're never going to take this guy to trial because he's not really there, so because he's not there anymore, so you're never going to you're never going to have like guilty or not guilty. But at the same time, you know, if the victims of this person are still alive and it's true, then they deserve to kind of be heard out and had it investigated. But the other thing, the element that kind of goes with it, though, is the kind of like the money costs. Like, because I think there's something like three different police forces working on this case at the moment. Like, so there's three different groups of policemen in our country right now investigating the crimes of someone they can't prosecute because he's dead. And No, there's a little bit of me that almost wants to go, this is absurd. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the gravestone and going to go, gotcha. But at the same time, you know, like you said, you know, truth is important. And Clary said earlier, she said, if it leads to kind of exposing like a ring or a pattern of behavior, you know, then there might still be kind of perpetrators still out there, but it's a difficult one.
It is, but I think it's called a trial of facts they're having, aren't they, for this guy, where it's not a proper thing, but they just establish the facts and then go from there to determine if it was true or not. But I think if it prevents things from happening in the future as well, in like, especially like with the government, that's very important. You don't want them thinking, they're there to serve us, and they can't think they can hide from things like this, even if it is 30, 40 years down the line.
Yeah, just a bit of a serious one there. You'll go.
Right, I'm going to go upbeat, games and wrestling. A bucket load of information dropped about 2K16 today.
Are you going to give us a big list?
No, no lists. I'm just going to talk. So the free game's coming. No, shut up.
So you should buy this game because bullet point one.
Well, I could do bullet points. My career is back, and this time, no, during the information, it was interview, and so there's loads and loads of new characters, and the phrase was called unique characters, and they finally got into this whole, you know, with Triple H, there's like three or four versions of Triple H, and then you've got Mankind, Mick Foley.
You need three or four versions of Triple H. There's the really long hair version. There's the version where his hair kind of like goes poof. There's the version where his hair is like in a ponytail. There's the version where his hair looks like he's kind of like just soaked it in oil before he wrestles.
And then there's Posh Boy. Don't forget Posh Boy. Fluffy.
Posh Boy tied back. And then, of course, there's Q-Ball Triple H, recent version, shaved.
Yep. So they said it'll be 100 plus unique characters. So that's good. Unique meaning individual characters, not just three or four versions. I'm a big fan of the new gameplay from the last one, 2K15. The more, you know, simulation, it's less arcadey. Yeah. The endurance is an aspect, and they're keeping that. That's good. And they're addressing my problems with it, which was they're taking all the game modes out. So four-way triple threat ladder matches, they're all coming back. And you can now interfere during entrances, which sounds, again, it sounds like it could be cool, but it could also, if you're going to skip the entrances like me and you normally do, it might not be a factor. And there's a three-man commentary team, so hopefully they won't have the same piece of dialogue repeating itself.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I can't think of anything I'd rather do to another man or whatever.
Exactly.
The sound of human flesh colliding.
He's just a monster. Hey, King, he's just a monster. Oh, shut up, please, shut up.
Oh, a reversal there. Oh, a reversal there. Oh, and a reversal there.
To push a sharp pencil into my ear.
So 100 wrestlers is way more than the current roster. And I mean, if we're going to like a state of wrestling type thing, I mean, they seem to be selling wrestling games these days more on the basis of the past, wrestling past, than the wrestling present. You know, there was the game, was it about 4 years ago? It was like, you can play the Attitude Era. And then it was like, and then the next year it was, you can play the History of WrestleMania. And then the next year it was like, look, it's got The Rock in it. And do you know what I mean? They seem to be marketing it on.
This year's no different. The cover superstar is Stone Cold, current wrestler. The story mode is all about the Stone Cold era, which is more or less the Attitude Era again. But they're definitely doing that, which kind of shows the product. They may not have complete faith in the product.
It does actually.
The other thing it addresses, and lastly, this is the thing. The main point I took from this story and all the information that leaked out from it is, me and you both agree that sometimes it just turns into a reversal fest when you're playing.
Yes.
Like reverse, punch, reverse. Damn it, reverse, reverse, reverse.
And sometimes it's special. I'm going to kick his ass, except he reversed it and did it back to me. That was fun.
So apparently they've got a lot of people think like this, and they've taken the feedback and they've added something. And I don't know what to think about it. I mean, it's doing something, so that's good. So what they're doing this time is you have three stored reversals. And each time you use a reversal, you can use it at the beginning of a move to reverse it. And it's just a kind of like a shrug off reversal. You know, you've probably seen the type. He just gets his leg and pushes him back and kind of stuff like that. And once you use it, that's gone and it slowly builds back up. Or you can use a mid move reversal, and that will reverse the move into like a big reversal. So like powerbomb into a DDT or, you know, reverse backdrop, that kind of stuff that will swing the match completely.
Yeah.
And that uses up two bars of your three reversal bars. And if you use all the reversal bars, then you can't reverse anything until it builds back up again. So your thoughts on this?
I think it's cool that they've tried to do something different with the reversal system. I can't quite visualize how that's going to work, but it sounds like it's basically you can't just go reverse, reverse, reverse. You've got to
Pace yourself.
And it might put in a bit of decision-making about whether to reverse moves or not. I wonder if it might turn into a case of people kind of going, well, I'm not going to reverse that punch, not going to reverse that punch, but I'll reverse the Stone Cold Stunner. So then will it become a case of like me and you facing each other kind of going, you know, am I going to do a stunner? Am I? Oh, no, it's an eye flick. Oh, no, that was a stunner. But then again, I suppose that's strategic again. You're trying to outwit your opponent. I like that they're trying something different. And my only slight question, what it would be, a bit like Windows, wrestling games seem to do like a TikTok thing, you know, like a one where they introduce the new stuff and it's a bit like, yeah, not so good, but I like the new stuff. And then next year they kind of, they sort it out. So I would rather just have a really good tweaked version of last year's than another load of new things.
Well, the building, I think that's what they're saying, apart from just more from what I can read on the article, it's just more or less these reversal things.
Yeah,
are the main thing, and then adding things that were there that they took out last year, which annoyed the absolute hell out of me. One on one, that's cool. And what else have we got? Oh, that's it, just one on one.
Just
awesome.
Just one on one with some fabulous.
But if I go and watch wrestling right now, there's a triple threat match in the main event of like WrestleMania to finish off the match. Yeah. But I can't, you know, it just drives me crazy. But hopefully that will be back in there. They say it is, but I'm not going to believe them until I see it. But the I agree with you. The reversal thing's cool.
Is it me?
It is you. It's all you, baby.
Bing! Right. Okay. This week is the final week of Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. Now, obviously, I'm British, and The Daily Show is kind of televised in America, although you can kind of see it on delays, various things, bits and bobs. But I mean, he's basically now so famous, and the show is so famous, that I think almost everyone of kind of my age has kind of heard of him. It's a big thing, Jon Stewart gang. I mean, a lot of people get their news from The Daily Show. Like, although it's a comedy program and it's not current affairs, it has become a kind of current affairs show. And he's become a real voice for kind of liberal America. And because obviously America's programs are kind of advertised around the world so much or shown around the world, he's almost become a voice for the liberal earth. So him leaving is a major, major thing. And obviously he's had a fabulous career there. He's built it up. He was the one that kind of built up the show along with his producers and directors and writers. And there's been loads of people on that have come and gone. You know, Steve Carell used to be on it. Stephen Colbert used to be on it. There's some amazing comedy sketches. I use some of them in my work. I'm a teacher and I use some clips from it when they've talked about various issues to kind of start debates and things. I think it's a real shame. And he's a really, really funny guy. His delivery is excellent. He can be deadpan when he needs to be. On occasion, he can be really kind of poignant and heartfelt. I love his anger. You know, the way he kind of, when certain issues happens, you can see him kind of going, what? And I love the ability that the show has and that he has to find the absurdity in things. You know, he'll take a kind of story and kind of go, but this is ridiculous because of this and this and this and this. And he's a really good anti-voice to the right wing stuff. And one of the things that irritates me about politics in general is that everyone seems blinded to the other person's view. You know, there's very few people kind of go, I see you've got a good point there. I don't really agree with the outcome, but I see the logic of what you're doing and maybe we can consider it. Everyone seems to be kind of like, you know, oh my God, Obamacare. What the frick? Or like in our country, it's kind of like, what? You're in the Labour Party? That's ridiculous. Oh my God, you're a conservative? That means you're basically Satan. You know, and there's like no kind of compromise. And I think The Daily Show kind of managed to with under Jon Stewart, just to more or less be kind of common sense. And obviously we might disagree with him or you might agree with him, but he seems to, it's nice to have a show where you kind of think, this kind of makes sense. I see where they're kind of going with it. Have you watched? Are you a fan? Do you know what I'm talking about? Or has this been a big story about nothing?
No. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen that he's going, and is it continuing on without him, or is it the end of the show?
No. The show's carry on going, and they've got a new kind of things like a stand up comedian who's done all the other kind of comedy shows, and he's kind of taking over a younger guy. So
it's not James Corden, is it? He's just
not James Corden. Oh, I can't stand.
Oh no, that was close. But yes, I'm a clip watcher of that. I always, whenever I see a clip of it, and I know exactly what you mean, he's just like, hang on, just let that stupidity settle in for 1 second while he stares at the camera and goes, what? That kind of thing. But I don't watch the whole program. I think in the UK it showed on Comedy Central.
Yes, I think you're right.
But I'm a clip watcher, yeah. But I agree. He's very good, and he does cut through the BS of it all and get to the points and makes it funny. So
it's tricky though, because everyone's biased. And I'm sure there'll be people listening to this podcast that will be like probably quite anti him and anti his show, and will be more kind of, you know, we'll watch more like things like kind of Fox News, or maybe in the UK it'll be kind of like reading the Telegraph or reading the Mail or reading the Sun. And then there'll be other people that will, you know, prefer to read like the Mirror, or watch something a bit more kind of left wing, like the Guardian newspaper or something like that. And it's tricky because every news thing is biased, and people are really going to might get very upset when we hear, but I'm really glad that the UK has the BBC, which in theory tries to be neutral on stories. And people moan at the BBC all the time. You see, they get lots of kind of hate mail, and people kind of go, oh, you're clearly biased against Labour, or you're clearly biased against the Conservatives. But I guess if everyone's accusing them of being biased, then that probably suggests that they're not.
Yeah, because it kind of evens it up. If someone from the Tories goes, you're biased against Labour, and surely they're smack bang in the middle. But
I'm sure that, you know, different stories must have different inflections, and they won't just get everything right. But because there's been recent stories about them trying to get rid of the BBC, or like, you know, or it's unfair because it's so big and things. But the idea that there's a news organisation which constitutionally has to be independent and present facts rather than opinion, I think is really valuable, don't you?
Yeah, well, you need that. You're doing that, especially people who aren't really on the ball, and they, you know, maybe they've just got too much of a busy life, or the politics is not their thing, but they still would like to be in the loop. You need to trust someone, and it's so hard because everyone's got an agenda. Everyone, the Sun, the Mirror. I mean, like Fox, being British, I don't fully understand what the situation with Fox, but I hear all the negative things that are said about them because we don't get Fox News here, and I don't go out my way to watch it because of the negative things that are said. But it doesn't sound good. They sound extremely biased.
Well, I get the impression that if you are a right-wing person, you watch Fox News and you go, yes, I agree with everything that's been said. The left-wing is terrible. And if you're left-wing, you watch Comedy Central and other places and you watch that and go, yes, the right-wing is clearly absurd. And, you know, but you seem to, it almost seems like, I mean, I'm not American, so maybe I'm overgeneralizing, and feel free to, you know, have a go at us and respond to the chat. You know, it almost feels like everyone's divided into one of these two camps and they hate the other. Whereas we have the BBC, and it tries to be in the middle. It tries to. If I link someone to an article on the BBC, I feel like they're getting a relatively neutral observance of facts rather than a big bias thing. I feel sorry for countries that don't have it.
Especially, I mean, everything, right and left have both, in all countries, you know, there's good and bad in everything. And, you know, you could go through so many different parties of give out policies, and you're like, oh, brilliant, I completely agree with this and grist. And you eventually get to something that goes, what? No, oh, you've ruined everything. Why did you do that? it's just so many different things. Some of them are outrageous. Some of them are like, you know, when you're moving into things like racism, it's like, oh, you know, more money for people who need it in the country. And, oh, yeah, I agree with that. And oh, you know, jobs for the people who need it. Yeah. And discriminate against this particular group of people. No, don't do that. So it's like I agree with you. I mean, I don't know how neutral they are, but I would like to think they are neutral. And I don't, especially recently when there's talk of getting rid of the BBC in particular, I think that's silly. You definitely need them.
I think that you'd have a lot I would personally have a lot harder time trusting the news without it. Anyway, so John Stewart's last show, I think it's tomorrow night or Thursday night, I think. I might go and check it out. Your turn.
Right, well, I was going to talk about today. Microsoft Xbox did their little presentation at Gamescom, but I found it a complete waste of time.
And have you got a list of things they said?
No, well, there's two things of note, and everything else was kind of like, you said all this at E3, so I don't know how long I should talk about it. Remember Alan Wake?
Yes.
Yes, and I love that game. That's literally in my top 10.
Kind of sideways scrolling.
Yeah, like horror. And it's like kind of like took Luigi's Mansion and made it like adult. It was really good.
A bit like what Infamous did for that burglar thing. Sly Fox, Sly Raccoon.
Sly Fox, yeah, exactly. That kind of it evolved it. Their follow-up game, which is also exclusive, has got announced. It's got a release date of April 5th next year. So that might finally give me an excuse to get an Xbox One, because at the moment, there's just, I haven't got a reason to get one. And Halo...
You don't have to find an excuse to buy a console. You either can get it or you don't. You don't have to be kind of like morally in your head kind of going, I just can't. Now I can.
When I was younger, that's cool, I want it. Now I actually have to justify the purchase. I can't just go, look, dear, I bought this really expensive thing. Oh, what are you going to do on it?
Look at it, Fred. Just shine the top.
It's so square. Mm. And Halo Wars 2. Did you ever play Halo Wars 1? Did you ever play that?
I've played Halo 1. I played the single player Halos. I haven't done the...
Halo Wars, the strategy one.
No.
Strategy, so Halo Wars 2 just got announced out of nowhere. And I didn't even know that was coming. It was like, oh, okay. I didn't know it was that popular.
Yeah.
But that's got announced as well. But everything else was really like... really? Why do I care? Why are you having a presentation? But one of their announcements was a keyboard attachment for the controller. What? Why?
Oh yeah, I saw this. I was like, I saw that. Is this weird like kind of horn shaped thing with a pad? Just get a PC. Like,
don't start the PC thing again.
I'm going to start the PC thing again. Seriously, if they're starting to have consoles which you can have mods on and you can have keyboards on and you can have headsets on and you can have multiple things running at the same time and you can like tab in and tab out and do all this and that. And it's like, yeah, but that's existed for years. It's in the other room. It's called a PC.
Yes, but if you're sitting in front of the telly and you're just relaxing and you don't want a PC or attached to it, some people have wires issues, which I have to unfortunately live with, where a wire is like a little bit like a poisonous snake. They kind of react to it the same way. I don't. I like wires. Wires represent technology, and I love technology. But certain people, not mentioning their names, Mrs. Spud, they just go, is that a wire?
My office is basically... wires.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
if you took out the wires, I think the room would just go.
It would literally fold up on itself and go into a black hole and vanish. But I agree with you. I'm pretty sure you can put a keyboard in the Xbox anyway, and you could definitely put. If you could put that, then you could definitely put the whole.
You can get a Bluetooth keyboard, can't
you? Yeah, you can definitely do that. So why do you need it? And I don't understand. I think it clicks into the bit where like in a controller, you've got the two bits that kind of go into the palms of your hands.
Oh, it doesn't go on the.
I think it goes there, so it's just now this brick thing.
Pad on top of it, like a tower of pad.
It kind of looks like a Dreamcast controller, which is the worst thing about Dreamcast.
How do you hold the pad while you type on the keyboard?
I think hand behind it, like a tablet, maybe. I don't know. It just the thing that confused me. It was like you keep hyping this the best lineup of games ever, and obviously you got to hype it because they're trailing behind the PlayStation. And you use that time to announce an add-on for a controller. So you really haven't got anything else to tell us. Oh my God. It wasn't a good moment. It wasn't. I just wanted to share.
Same thing though, I don't know if this announcement, because this one's been out for a while, the Rare Replay thing.
Yes.
I'll just briefly explain what that is. There's an old games company called Rare. They were massive in the late 90s, early 2000s. I think they still kind of exist, but they're kind of past their glory days. And they've basically, on the Xbox One, they're going to release a bundle, which is basically the vast majority of their old games. And we're talking about things like kind of Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, Perfect Dark. They also made GoldenEye and Donkey Kong Country, but sadly they're not on the thing because of Nintendo licensing issues and things like that. Conker's Bad Fur Day, amazing! Singing Pooh, yep. Throw a Sweet One at it, amazing. So my question for you, Spud, is do you have a favourite gaming company that isn't around anymore? Like, is there a gaming company that, I missed the da-da-da game?
Oh, that isn't around anymore. That's a good one.
I know.
Blimey.
Yeah. Because I know you used to be probably into your I know that's Activision, I know this is that. I've got one for me, by the way, so if you want some thinking time, I can wrap it on.
Oh, yeah, do your one when I'm thinking.
Okay, my one, LucasArts.
Ah, yes, the old Star Wars game.
Star Wars games, you've got the X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, you've got the a lot of the early Star Wars games, but you've also got on top of that, I think Monkey Island was LucasArts, and if it wasn't, Full Throttle definitely was. There was a few other little hidden classics they did, like in the point-and-click genre.
Monkey Island, and did they do Full Throttle?
Just mentioned. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
LucasArts did some really, really good stuff. And then I think they got bought out by someone, or they just closed that kind of division and the point and click genre kind of went, because Star Wars games are still going, but that particular element isn't. So I miss LucasArts. Anyway, what about you?
I am going to go really recent. I'm just trying to think of all the games I loved, especially on the Super Nintendo era. And they've just recently, more or less, thrown the towel in now. And it's Konami.
Really?
Yep. I think the creator of Metal Gear Solid and the Silent Hills game that was coming out, he's leaving the company after the release of, or he's already left because the game development's finished on the new Metal Gear 5, yeah. The Phantom Pain. And after that, they're kind of going to, they've said they're going to try and concentrate on mobile and stuff like that.
My brain just caught up what you're saying. The Phantom Pain.
The Phantom Pain.
Phantom means kind of like not really there, doesn't it?
Yes.
So it's the not really there pain.
Yes.
That's an awful title.
Have you played Metal Gear games? Are you surprised by this?
No. Well, no, I have. I'm sure there'll be a really long cutscene that explains it that doesn't really make sense, and it will involve some sort of girl cooking eggs.
Yes, it's like it's a 60-minute cutscene, and it needs a whole disc.
Yeah, you have really boring. Things. Nothing really happens. But luckily, you can play as the slug that's going past, so you can just make the slug walk around while these two guys are having a conversation.
Yeah. But they made so many games I liked, and now it looks like they're going. And, Turtles in Time and Sunset Riders just loads. I just remember always that screen popping up on now, and then it's like kind of going.
Their games didn't age well, and I must admit, I haven't bought a Konami game for a long time. So I'm not really surprised, but at the same time, they're part of my youth.
Yeah, what people don't understand.
I used to think it was Konami. Is it not Konami?
I pronounce everything wrong. That I read. I thought Thanos from the comics was Thonos or Tonus or something for ages, and until I got to high school and someone laughed at me. So but what a lot of people don't understand about that company is that in Japan they do water and they do like machines, vending machines, and it's not just games they're into.
Oh, right.
We only get the games, but they're raking in money from lots of different directions in Japan. So that's probably, from business, they put so much development time just into the Metal Gear series. They're probably thinking, is this really worth it anymore? I'm not quite sure. So that's probably my one. Yeah.
I think it's time for Ask Spud and Addy.
Yeah!
We asked you guys last week, and we want more to either email us or to tweet us your questions, and we'll answer a few of them in the last kind of 10 minutes of the show we've got here. And I've got a few from the hashtag AskSpudAddy, or you can just tweet it at our Twitter account, which is AskSpudAddy. And just before we do it to your letters, let me just do the completely unnecessary plug. If you're watching this on Twitch, then please sign up to the podcast version of this show to help it grow. If you're watching this on the podcast version, then please, or listening to it, I should say, then please follow, help us grow, and we'll try and give you more top quality content just like this one. But please help us grow. We'll make sure all of the links are on the Twitter, and I'll add the links below the channel, the Twitch channel if you're watching it there, and I'll add the links below the YouTube as well. But please click on some of those links, follow where you can, and also don't be afraid to listen to us in another media. If you listen to podcasts but you're not listening to the podcast version, please do it. Right, Ask Spud and Addy. Okay. Corkai asks, Spud Addy asks, do you think VR such as Oculus Rift will help or hurt good game development? Ask Spud and Addy.
Cool. Well, this kind of relates to what you said about Rare in a way, because my answer to this question is I do think it's going to hurt it. Just temporarily until it crashes and burns. Now, I'm only going on past experience from the things like the Kinect,
and the Wii controller. I think it'll be a gimmick.
Was kind of successful. The Wii was successful itself, not third party wise. Yeah. But the Kinect, it's when it first came out, I was like, "Whoa, my God, this is going to change the face of gaming." And there was a little boy fighting in his living room, and he had a skateboard, and he scanned it in. And I was like, "I can't even skate, but I'm going to get a skateboard. I love it." And it was terrible. I think Rare. Microsoft bought Rare off of Nintendo and just made them make Kinect games. And it was, what are you doing? These are really good, talented guys, and you're making them. Even though their Kinect games were the best Kinect games. So if it goes down that road, which is just gimmicky games, I think it is going to take a lot of attention away from proper classic games. And I can't see it working. I mean, it's interesting, and I hope it is successful, but I think it's going to hurt. Temporarily,
I don't see it being more than a gimmick. I hope it'll be one of those things that will be, when it's finally released, it'll be really big for a year, and I'll have that I shouldn't buy one. I won't use it. I'll put it on and I'll go cool, and then I'll never use it again. And
yep.
It'll completely shut me off from my family. And I mean, can you imagine streaming with one on?
Well, that's the other thing. I think one of the questions.
I'm walking down a room. I mean, you wouldn't have. You'd look like a tool. And people. I mean, I know. I mean, especially as Izzy gets older as well. I can imagine what's going to happen. I'm going to be here on Twitch with this big thing on my face, looking like that guy from Star Wars. And she's going to start. Izzy's going to come in, or Claire's going to come in, and they're just going to start nicking stuff from around me because I won't be able to see a freaking thing. And they'll become a sport. And I think it'll actually become a sport on YouTube as well. I think they'll just be like steal things from Oculus Rift players, and it'll be like you get like 5 points for like a pen if you can get the controller. I mean, oh dear God, you genius! You know, their wallet, their keys, their clothes. I mean, what can you steal from all of their snacks? Their drinks.
So, I'm going to be in my house and I'm going to be like, okay, bye everyone. Have a good time. We're out. I'm going to play a Oculus Rift on my Morpheus. And then I'm going to put it on for an hour and go, this is brilliant. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Earphones, everything. Cool. Yeah. Take it off. And the sofa's gone. And all the furniture's and the kitchen is just bare.
It's a burglar's wet dream. They'll be like, shall I rob that house? No, there's someone in it. Wait a minute. They're on the Oculus Rift. They're basically in Krypton right now. Let's go nick everything. They'll never know.
And there'll just be a note saying, you look like a complete douche while you're saying so.
Yes. I think it'll be a gimmick. Yes. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, because the Wii was a lot more successful than I ever thought it was. And I ended up getting a Wii and I really enjoyed it. And so sometimes these gimmicky things can be successful, but even the successful ones eventually pass on. And I would also argue that gaming's kind of going the other way as well. I think gaming is becoming less and less immersive and more casual, you know, hence the massive rise of tablets and smartphones. And you know, look at, I mean, the most money-making games in the world these days are Heyday and Game of War. And, you know, the games that are selling are the really, really casual games, not the games that were, I mean, you couldn't see someone sitting on the tube, you know, kind of sitting there. All right, just stop me in about four stops, all right? You know, Oculus Rift on.
And then they just go up to a random passenger and start feeling up their face going, oh, you orc, I will defeat you.
You
what are you doing? Get off me.
But that's it. I think it's going to be well designed. I think by the time it's come out, they're going to have really put some good stuff in. I think being immersed in it will be amazing. I just think the practical nature of it and the kind of the clunkiness of it will mean that it will be a gimmick thing that will, a bit like the drum kits with the Guitar Hero and the additional Wii controllers or the nunchuck, will eventually end up in the loft, that you don't want to throw away just in case another game comes out, but at the same time, you know, you won't really put it on your head again.
I agree. We're both going to agree there. Yep.
Do you want to do another question from Ask Spud Annie?
Yep. Okay. Who have we got here? We've got... right. Justin W... Justin DWF6872 at GC Manning Photo asks, do you find your zen when streaming certain games and your favourite game to play when needing to de-stress after a long day? Long, hard day.
I didn't understand the first bit, but let's go for the de-stress one. My favourite de-stress game ever was Flower.
And,
I even bust it out on occasion these days. It's just you. If you haven't, it's made by the people that did Journey. In fact, it was their first game. There's no buttons. There's literally just your controller, I believe. And you're a flower, and you just do that. You're just going to glide through the world, and you pick up little things, and things happen, and lots of lovely colours.
I've played it, and I loved being a flower.
I love being
beautiful
a flower.
I'm a beautiful. Look at me, I'm a beautiful flower. But yeah, I get that.
I'm not stressed. What do you de-stress?
Mine was the exact opposite. I think my favourite one is Street Fighter. So I can pop on there for a round.
Smash
someone's face in with like a good hurricane kick, dragon punch combo in the corner. Trap them. You got to trap them in the corner if you want to de-stress. You need to trap them in the corner and make sure you just get a good long combo in, and then you just feel much better afterwards if you just completely annihilate them, especially if it's another human being as well. If it's another human being control player as well, that's always nice.
I was that guy that got E-Honda and the 100 hand slap.
Ah, yes.
You got the punch button, you got the other person in the corner, you hammered punch, and eventually you're like, we'll turn into... And we used to have a friend, and you'll remember this guy called Satcha. And I haven't spoken to him in years. I've still got him on Facebook and stuff, but he was a Street Fighter master. I mean, he knew every Ryu and Ken combo. He could do Hadoukens on purpose. He could combo his Hadouken into a Sonic Boom and this and that. And, you know, we're all around one of those little kind of like young person's parties that you have, you know, teenage all around, various beers. And then someone busts out the Street of Horror, and it's like, oh, and then Satcha is the man. you know, that you don't want to get put up against. A bit like Marvin in wrestling, if you remember that one.
And oh, God, reverse
Satchel was the guy you didn't want to get put up against. And he beat everyone. And then the pad got handed to me. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go E Honda and the 100 hand slap. And I beat him.
Yeah! I bet he's so annoyed.
He was fuming and he demanded a rematch. Even though there were loads of people waiting to play, there were loads of people demanding go. Oh, it's our turn, it's our turn. He would not let go until he played me again. And you know what? I beat him again. No score. Yeah! Just got him in the corner. 100 hand slap. Ticka, 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 ticka. Oh, it was a glorious day. And the fact that I still remember it now, about 20 years later, shows how much impetus and pride I had on beating someone who I haven't really seen since with 100 hand slap.
Cool.
Cool. Right, ask Addy. this is from Snowjoke. If you could go back and ask Addy, ask Spud Daddy, sorry. If you could go back in time and change one major world event, what would it be? How would you change it and why?
That's deep, man.
I think, as we're now approaching the end of the show, that's actually such a big question that I think we should save that for next week.
Okay.
I think we should come back next week and be prepared to discuss.
I'm going to make a note about it right now.
Make a little note about that one. Good question, Snowjoke.
Question.
Bit of a deep one. I think it's going to be quite tricky to answer it without being kind of like, you know, I would stop the genocide of millions, you know, and try and find something funny. But I'm going to try and find something funny, if I can. Right. Well, that was Ask Addy. That was Spud Addy. Thank you, Spud.
My pleasure.
So a quick run through all the blurb. You plug the podcast. You got 60 seconds, and I'm going to count them down. Tell people how they can follow the podcast, but if they're not doing so yet, go.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, number one, you can follow us on iTunes. You can subscribe to us, and it's easy. You just search for Spud Daddy Cast, and we're the only one on there called that, so that's good. We're also on Audio Boom, and you can also subscribe to us there and like us. Don't forget to rate us as well. These rates help. You can find us on Twitter at the Spud Daddy Cast, and be sure to say hello. And if you want to send us a quick email as well for the questions next week, you can also get us at spudaddycast@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for listening or watching or wherever you are, however you have got through this. And we really hope you enjoyed it. And please, please come back. It would be lovely to see you for episode 3 of the Spud Eddie podcast. Take care. You have been fantastic. And you know what? So are we.
Spud Addy, you Spud and I'm Addy. Just listen, you'll glisten, cause you'll be so happy. Our podcast is random talk on this and on that. But what did you expect from potatoes and fat? Yeah, what did you expect from potatoes and fat?